you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, 11 through 19. I'm not sure what page that is in the Bibles in the chairs today, so hopefully you can find it. We'll read this section of Scripture and take a look at it here after we pray. Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you that it is not coincidence, it's not a mistake, it's not just even a habit or a tradition, but you've called us here and you've provided for us to be here. We thank you again for this place. We thank you for what this time affords to us. We ask your blessing upon our examination of your word. We pray that you would give us ears to hear, open our hearts to receive the truth as it applies to us. And we thank you for what you will do in us and through us because of our time together here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now as we look at this section of Scripture, there's several words that I want to call to your attention that bring out what's taking place here between Jesus and these lepers. Just so happens that all these words start with the letter R. I didn't plan that. It just, as I was studying through it, it came about that it worked that way. So if you're inclined to take notes and you want to write these words down, they may bring to your remembrance down the road what's going on here. First of all, we have the reality. The reality is these 10 guys all had leprosy. And they hung out together because the law of Moses required that they stay away from everyone else. They were not able or allowed to participate in normal activities of society. In fact, they were required, if someone had to come near them for some reason, they were required to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and people would have to stay away from them. And it wasn't until a priest could examine them and determine that they were cleansed from their leprosy by some means, whether it was medicine or whether it ran its course and went away for some reason. It wasn't until that declaration was made that these people were able to once again join their families and friends and regular activities. And so these fellas were hanging out together and they saw Jesus coming. And the next R word is recognition. They all recognized who Jesus was. Now how they recognized him, how they knew him, we don't know. It doesn't tell us. But they recognize him. They call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So they recognize Jesus is more than just a teacher, more than just maybe even a healer, but they at least recognize that he has some means to help them should he be inclined to do so. So they all have this recognition that Jesus is the Master, and Jesus could have mercy on them. The next R word is their response. All 10 of them take Jesus at his word. Because he tells him. He doesn't touch him. He doesn't do anything like he's done with some. He doesn't even command them. Like in the Old Testament with Naaman, he was commanded to go and, you know, jump in the Jordan River, which he was not inclined to do because it was cold and it was dirty. And he thought, what's that going to do for me? But Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, these guys could have argued with Jesus and said, well, why? We have leprosy. We're going to go to the priest. They're going to say, you have leprosy. Stay away from everybody. You know, what do you want? You know, I mean, because they're saying, they could have said, we nothing's happened here. We're still in the same condition we were. But they don't. Their response is the same. They, all 10 of them, turn and go. And all 10 of them, in the process of going, again, we don't know exactly where, at what point, whether it was once they arrived at the priest or whether it was in the process of going, however far they had to go. But somewhere along the way, they all received the same remedy. They were all cleansed. The leprosy went away. But then that's where things change. Because only one of them returned to what he recognized as the source of his remedy. And he returns to Jesus. And he returns not just, you know, sneaking along or not just going, oh, hey, thanks, by the way. He's praising God with a loud voice. I mean, he's causing a stir to some degree. Certainly people would have heard that and seen that and recognized that here's a man who's excited about what's happened to him. And he's not only praising God, but he's giving thanks to Jesus. And he demonstrates that physically and as well as with his voice. He falls down on his face before Jesus. Now this word here that's translated in English, giving thanks, is used 38 times in the New Testament. All other 37 times this word is used, it's used as someone giving thanks directly to God. This particular instance is someone giving thanks directly to Jesus. Now, apparently, he recognized Jesus as God, and we'll see how that plays out here in just a minute. But this return of the one is also unique in another way. Not only was he the only one of the ten, and Jesus, of course, calls attention to that and says, well, where's the other nine? You know, didn't they have time? Didn't they recognize? Don't they know what's going on? This other uniqueness is that this man is a Samaritan. Now, we know a little bit about Samaritans. We don't think about Samaritans a lot, and a lot could be said about Samaritans. It's interesting, but in my research a little bit, I found out that there are actually still some Samaritans in Israel to this day. There's only a couple hundred left. There used to be several thousand, and they just, over time, for various reasons, have dwindled down to just a couple hundred left. And they still practice their original form of worship, and they believe that they are worshiping the true God in the true way at the place where they're supposed to, because they only recognize the Torah, or what we call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. They only recognize those as scripture. And according to the Torah, Mount Gerizim was the place where you were supposed to go and worship God. Now, we know about that from John chapter 4, where Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well, and she argues with Jesus about where's the correct place to worship, because she says, our fathers have always said we should worship on this mountain, which is Mount Gerizim, and you Jews say we should worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, that's not the point. The point is the worship. The point is not the place. And he says, there's a time coming when you won't worship here or there, or you'll worship because you have the Spirit of God in you, and that's where worship takes place, is within you. But there's a lot of more things we could talk about with Samaritans, but the important thing in this context is to recognize that this Samaritan, even though he's now cleansed and he can rejoin society, from Jesus' perspective, he's still an outsider. He's a foreigner. Jesus says, was no one found to return and to give praise to God except this foreigner? Now, we could read that as just, you know, he's from a different country or whatever. But the interesting thing about this word foreigner is that this word was chiseled into stone in an inscription in the temple at Jerusalem. And the inscription was a prohibition against foreigners going beyond the court of the Gentiles and into the court of the Jewish people where they would go to worship God. They were prohibited from going in there. And the inscription went something like this. It was carved in the stone in Greek and in Latin. And it said, in effect, let no man of another nation, which is the translation of the word foreigner, let no man of another nation enter inside the barrier and the fence around the temple. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame that his death follows. So in other words, it was a condemnation against going in a place where you didn't belong. And yet, here's this foreigner recognizing Jesus, being cleansed of his leprosy, coming back and praising God and giving thanks to Jesus in a godly way. And Jesus says to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. That's the ESV translation. They've chosen that particular rendition. Not really sure why, because the majority of the times this particular word of made you well is used. It's used in the context of someone receiving salvation. So what Jesus is actually saying is your faith has saved you. And some translations use that word, thankfully, because that's the accurate rendition of it. Yes, his faith made him well in that he believed Jesus' words and he went and he was cleansed, but his faith gave him more than that. God blessed him with salvation that day. So there's this unique setting of 10 lepers. 9 are apparently Jews. We're not told outright that they're Jews, but the implication is there that only this one foreigner is the one that came back. But all of them were cured. Only one of them was saved. John Calvin in the Institute says that sin is spiritual leprosy. Sinners need spiritual cure. Sinners need spiritual cleansing. Sinners need spiritual healing. As sinners, recognition of God, which all of these men had, and recognition recognition of Jesus as master, as all of these 10 men did, it's not enough. Paul in Romans chapter 1 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So recognition is not enough. Knowing God, knowing about God, is not enough. As sinners, we need redemption and reconciliation. A couple more R words. Again, I didn't plan that. It's the way it worked out. We need redemption and reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers, or maybe we could transpose that into the word foreigners, to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens or foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So as sinners, we're foreigners to God. But in Christ, we're no longer foreigners. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer alienated. We're no longer far away. We're no longer unclean. We're no longer contaminated by this spiritual leprosy. So, today, what are you thankful for? Maybe you're thankful for a day off. Maybe you're thankful for a day of football on the big screen. Maybe you're thankful for a day to go play football in the snow, like Jim told me some people were up here at the school playing football when he went by. Maybe you're thankful for the sacrifice of thanksgiving, not what the scriptures call the fruit of our lips, which is praise continually, but maybe you're thankful for this sacrifice of thanksgiving that we usually look forward to, that perfectly cooked turkey. Maybe you're thankful for your electronic iPhone gadget or iPad or whatever else that you have that, you know, keeps you connected. The nine of the ten lepers went on their way and were reunited with society, joined their families and friends and whatever else that they were involved in. They didn't have time to be thankful. They were cured, but as far as we can tell from this text, they were not saved. The one was cured and saved. So today, to whom are you thankful? Are you thankful to the one to whom all thanks is due? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for spiritual healing. We thank you for restoration, for reconciliation, for redemption in Christ. We have many, many things to be thankful for, as we ought. But we pray that you will help us to remember to be thankful for the most important thing. And that's our relationship with you. That's only available through Christ. We can't get there on our own as much as we might even want to. But your word tells us that we wouldn't want to. We would be your enemy were it not for you coming and changing us, revealing the truth, and bringing us to yourself. We thank you for that. Thank you for the blessing that that is for now, and the blessing that it is and will be forever. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.